shoot! Scores! DK wins it for an end round!
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Lions Blog Podcast. This is your host, Gavin. And today we are going to be going over the Portland 1-1 draw on the road. A really disappointing result after being 1-0 up, after being up by a man as well to give it up through the penalty. Very, very disappointing there. So we're gonna kind of be diving into that as we always do. A little bit different today in the sense of we have a different co-host here today. Name is Matthew LeBoissonnier. He has been writing for lionsblog.org. A couple of you I know have been reading all of his articles, and he is a new Orlando City fan, so he doesn't kind of have a lot of the history from the last few seasons to kind of talk about, but he can talk about what he's seen this season. So Matt, welcome to the podcast. We're going to have you on a couple times this season, of course. We're 5 matches into the season, so I guess we'll start with, do your little intro, and then what have your thoughts been on Orlando City thus far?
Yeah, man, I guess you could say I'm a bandwagon, you know, jumping on right now, but no, it's been fun. Obviously, like, you know, Gavin, just a huge soccer guy. So just watching the team, finding a new team, you know, finding new players to really appreciate has been fun. And I'm really starting to like the team. I mean, I think so far this season, they've been fluctuating a little bit. We've seen some really peak performances, and then we've seen some really low moments of the season. And I think obviously the lowest one is going to be that penalty mistake that we saw late in the game on Sunday. But I think there has been a lot of promise. And one thing that I do want to point out is it's really hard to say this right now because of the way that the game played out. But I want to ask you, Gavin, if you were asked, you know, before the Lions went on this 2-game road stint that we were going to take 4 points from that, I think you would see that as a positive. You know, looking at it with hindsight now and the fact that we were, you know, 12 minutes or whatever from 6 points out of 6, it's a big bummer. But I think that those mistakes that, you know, that Perea made that day and mistakes that players have been making throughout the season, you know, you think about the Cincinnati match, I think those will start to fade away as soon as the real starting 11 starts to mold. So I think 4 out of 6 on the West Coast, I mean, the MLS is tough, traveling West Coast, time zones, everything like that. So I think he'll take 4 out of 6. I think you need to take some positives from it, but we will get to that mistake because I have a lot to say about that because it was a terrible mistake. But overall, I don't think 4 out of 6 in that West Coast road trip is that bad.
No, not at all. I think it's one of those things where it's fresh in the memory. So we're all kind of frustrated. We're all annoyed. We're all, why did he give away that penalty? It was so unnecessary. Like you said, we're going to talk about it here in a couple minutes. But yeah, to answer your question, 4 out of 6 points on the road is very impressive. And the way I try to think about it is that a lot of other teams who go away from home to the West Coast are not going to get 3 points in the East. The teams that we're facing for playoff contention, Columbus went to San Jose and got a 3-3 draw. You know, and San Jose has been the worst team in MLS this season by far. They're giving up play. I think they've given up 10 XG already through 5 games. It's been awful. That's really unheard of, really. So going to the West Coast and getting wins on the road, obviously, like you said, getting wins on the road anywhere is really difficult. But going from Florida to West Coast is extremely difficult, and to get 4 points out of 6 is really impressive. And with time, I think we'll look back and say, yeah, it was a disappointing result against Portland, could have been 6 out of 6, but you know what, we're already most likely 3 to 4 points ahead of our rivals when they have to go and play some West Coast team or Western Conference team away from home.
Yeah, and so, absolutely. And I think one thing I just wanted to add, the last game also there were players missing on international duty. I mean, the number our number one keeper, I think how you pronounce it, Gaese, I think is how you say it. He wasn't around. And then, you know, Torres, you know, who's emerging as one of our prime attacking options, you know, in that front three, he wasn't around either. So, again, a lot of positives I think you can take from this. I think, you know, with a full squad, obviously the mistake from Perea, Gaese and Torres probably wouldn't have had a hand in that. Like, they probably wouldn't have affected that. But they could have had more of an effect on the game overall. So, you know, I think you kind of got to swallow this one and just move ahead.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's actually impressive. So when going back to last season, you don't really kind of have this history here, but we've struggled when losing some key pieces. So when Nani wouldn't start last season, for example, we wouldn't look good. Or Pereira, you know, obviously he went out off of injury, and we're probably going to talk about that next year. But Mauricio Pereira, whenever he's not on the pitch, we would look really poor. And here we are missing out on Facundo Torres, Urchankara, our DP striker didn't start, Sebastian Mendez, obviously Galese, like you pointed out, wasn't there either. So maybe we're a little iffy at the goalkeeper position, not as much confidence in our goalkeeper as we would the Peruvian. And on the road, we looked comfortable. We were executing our game plan really well. And just one little boneheaded moment, it gave it away. So let's actually get into the match itself. We were executing our game plan really well. And the first thing, I guess we should just go over the goal. So Urso's goal, Pato with, you know, he was trying that through ball to Juan. It gets blocked. It falls back to him. And he then plays it through first time to Junior Urso, who slots it home. What have you made of Pato this season in his, I think, 3 or 4 appearances for Orlando City?
Yeah, I think so far you've really seen his technical skill and like his elegance on the ball, especially when you talk about that assist. It was so fast. Like you said, he tried to slip it in to the right back. It got deflected, came right back to him, and almost instantaneously, I think, you know, just that experience, just that hindsight, he knew with his peripheral vision or something, just to dink it into the box, you know, someone's going to be there, either Michelle or Urso moving forward, which is what happened, and a really clean finish from Urso as well in a tight area. But I think the difference between him and Cara is easily like the technical skill and the ability on the ball, the flair, his movement, I think is so underrated, creating, you know, more runs for the wingers and stuff like that. In a game like this, where there needs to be creation, where there needs to be some kind of goal, some play through the middle, I think he's an excellent option. And then when you see Cara, especially I saw it in the Galaxy game, Galaxy was trying to move through the middle in the game plan for the Lions that day. They packed the middle with the three midfielders, and then Cara drops back deep. It's almost like four central midfielders clogged back there, forces teams to go out wide. Pato doesn't really do that. He really focuses, you know, on the attack side of play. I just thought he was amazing. I have some stats here as well. 83.3% passing accuracy. He had 2 shots on the day, the only one on target, but he was accurate with his crosses, both of his long balls. Obviously, his best days are behind him, you know, when he was playing in Europe and stuff like that. But I think he's going to be a really important player this season, especially after not playing in the last match to come in today. And, you know, aside from Urso himself, probably be the best man on the pitch for the Lions. Or actually, you know, we could talk about the 2 center backs too, but definitely one of the best attacking men on the field that day, I would say.
Yeah, he's had a great start to the season. Against Portland specifically, he was really influential in anything that was positive in the attack, and then obviously was involved in the goal. We have a DP striker, Urchankara, who looked good against the Galaxy defensively, like you pointed out, and he's very good at holding up the ball and keeping it. He's not as obviously technically skilled as Alexander Pato, but I don't think really anybody on the team is, bar maybe Mauricio Pereira. Who's your preference right now? Is it the strong target man Urchankara who can hold up the ball and relieve some pressure by buying you a foul by getting shoved over in the back because he's too big to defend and uses his body well? Or is it the technical Alexandre Pato through the middle, or through the middle at striker.
You know, I've played with, you know, two different kinds. I've played with the two different kinds of strikers in my day, and I've watched those two different kinds of strikers. I've always preferred the strong, you know, rugged one, hold up play, and he allows the wingers to then build off of him. And I think that's why Cara and Torres have been working so well together. We saw it in the Galaxy game. Obviously, Torres wasn't, you know, around for this past game. It's tough to say who I prefer. I really just think it depends on the matchup. It depends on the game plan that Perea is going for. I think I would still give the nod to Pato. I think we've seen really good flashes of him so far. Maybe he's not going to start every game, but I think in a game where you're trying to get 3 points, you're trying to attack, you're trying to score goals, I think he's that guy right now.
Yeah. Now here's another thing to think about with that talking point of Pato. Mauricio Pereira got stretchered off the field. We haven't heard a single update on his injury status. I don't even know if they've updated. They have, you know, that MLS injury report. I'm going to look it up right now, actually. The player availability report. They usually update those each week. And that would maybe give us an inkling of what's going on with Mauricio Pereira. But yeah, they haven't even updated it. So we have no idea what's going on with him. He's been the creative hub for Orlando City for the past few seasons, obviously. And this season, he's kind of not been as good, in my opinion. And we've had that discussion on this podcast already. So maybe do you think we kind of have to get Pato in there now if Pereira is out for a significant portion, or even just out for the next few games? Like we have to get that creativity from somewhere. If it's not through Pereira, maybe it is through Pato.
Yeah, you know, it definitely could be an option. We've seen Pato move around a lot. I think it might have been the match before, but maybe it was the Galaxy one where he didn't feature in the Galaxy match.
It was the Pato. Cincinnati where he started.
The Cincinnati on the right. One. He started on the right. Yes, right. I was
getting confused. Well, the right in air quotes, because
yeah,
he was not exactly really a like right winger, but yeah,
he's floating around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely gonna have to be like a mix up around there, because you look around the rest of the Lions and who are you convinced of, you know, in terms of attacking? I Torres obviously is going to get his time. He's an exciting player. But are you convinced with Benji Michel? I mean, I think, in my opinion, when I watch the Lions, that left wing gap is the biggest need, I think, in terms of attack. I don't think he's that convincing. I think you can do better. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Maybe could we see games where Pato and Cara start together? You know, Cara up top, Pato dropping more deeper as a 10, because he obviously has that. Or I don't know if I said Cara drop back as a 10. I meant to say Pato, but right. Pato drop back as a 10, because he has that technical ability. He has an eye for an assist, an eye for a ball. So maybe that's something we could see in the future with Perea. I was just looking online if there were any updates, and just on some Reddit stream, some Orlando fans saying out. Prop lower leg injury 6 to 8 weeks, you know, most likely, but that no one really has any real updates, like you said. So we're all kind of being left in the dark here, but obviously a huge miss, you know, if he's going to be gone for an extended amount of time.
Yeah. Which really sucks, because we've actually been, I would say, pretty lucky with injury to start the season. Obviously the matches have been spaced out. There's only been five of them, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Pato is someone who we were all really concerned about with injury. João Moutinho is another guy who's consistently been injured throughout his Orlando City career. And we've done good there. And Pereira, who's been pretty consistently available across his three seasons, seeing him get stretchered off, hopefully it was just precautionary. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially after, you know, the Timbers had that penalty, You saw maybe the Lions were starting to push again, or even before the penalty when they're trying to push for that second goal to try to put the game to bed. As soon as he comes off, it's different. You know, we came off in the 73rd minute. I think the penalty was like 5 or 6 minutes later. So in that 20 minute, you know, get from 73rd to whatever, I think it was 90 plus 5 they played, it was different without Perea out there. it's kind of one of those things where you don't really notice how much of an impact he's making until he's gone. So it's going to be, you know, tough for the Lions. So, you know, you can't really replace him. Honestly, you can just kind of see what you have and try to mold around it.
Yeah, you can't. You're right. It's not a direct replacement. It's probably more like a two players trying to do his job of creating.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting to see. All right. So let's get into now. Let's see what happened next. I think it was we were 1-0 up. We talked about the goal and then they got a red card, clear red card. We don't really need to talk about that. So
two yellows, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Two yellows. Right. Yeah. Pato again, getting both yellow cards for Van Rankin. He was the one who got
it's fouled. The movement.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's the movement.
So I've seen a lot of, and I've had a back and forth on this with a fellow Orlando City podcaster. His name's Eddie. Should we have sat deep against Portland after they went down to 10? I've seen some kind of, and not just Eddie, I've seen plenty of people talk about it. We should have gone for the killer. The take is we should have gone for the killer blow, gone for the 2-0, stepped out of our shell, asserted dominance on the match. Instead, we sat back. Portland, you know, not even really just thinking about the penalty. Portland were just more dangerous in the offensive third after going down to 10 men than before. So what is your take on that? Should we have sat deep or should we have gone for the 2-0?
I think you should go for it. I mean, I think they should have gone for it is what I mean. What like we mentioned how traveling on the road, traveling to the West Coast, you take the wins the way you can. You know, it doesn't really matter if it's cute or not. You just want to get the points. I mean, we saw that Galaxy game. If you didn't watch that game, the stats were not in our favor. But, you know, we walked away with 3 points, and I don't think anybody cares about the possession stats anymore. But for that Timbers game, sitting back, like you mentioned, the Timbers were kind of all over them late in that second half. It just allows for so much pressure to be put on you. And when they have 10 men, there are plenty of opportunities when you try to counter to get on them. And if you get that second goal, it's absolutely put to bed. There's no way 10 men are going to get two more goals in the span of 10 minutes. So I do think they should have gone for that. So while I was saying, you know, hold on to a win, no matter how cute it is or not, that implies that I think we should have sat back. But I think this is a special instance where you got to go get that win. There's 10 men, go for the kill. You still have a lot of attacking. I know Pereira, but you still have a lot of attacking options on the field. I think you go for that win. And it's kind of unfortunate. It seems like a really bad decision now that there was the penalty and everything. And we only walked away with a draw, but I think they should have gone for it. I do. I don't know how you feel about it.
So I feel opposite, and I'm sure some people will disagree with me. And I see what you're saying, right? Go for the 2-0. They're down to 10 men. You should be able to kind of assert your dominance, and you're away from home. Go for the 6 points out of six. 3 points on the road is great, wherever you are. My thing is we had just – it was literally 74th minute. Look at the timeline here. Rodrigo Schlegel comes on for Maurizio Pereira. So the injury, he gets stretchered off. We put on our center back. All right. Now that I see that, I'm kind of hoping that Pereira's being stretchered off was precautionary or maybe even a little time wasty. Because we already had Schlegel ready to go, unless it was just, hey, Schlegel's up there. He was going to go on for somebody else. And, we had to just put him on for Pereira, but that's, you know, that's a tangent. Anyways. So we just put Schlegel on. So he's our third center back. We're going to a three at the back system. We're really shutting down. While they have 11 men, 2 minutes later, they get the red card. So then they're down to 10 men. We had already established that we are sitting deep for this game. And I think that was the right decision, at that time, 74th minute when Schlegel came in for Pereira before the red card, because Portland this season have not really been able to create much at all. Actually, in this match where Paredes had the diving header at the back post that he just missed was one of the first passes. I don't know either. It was, we got really lucky there. That was one of the Yeah, it was. That was one of the first passages of play I've seen from LAFC, from Portland this season, where they've created some dangerous attack through their own play. So that basically means we should be able to sit deep against this team and not give up a goal. We are good enough defensively to that. We're one of the better teams in this league on defense.
And you're right, because the defense has been excellent so far this season. It really has. Right. And I'm sure we'll get onto that later.
Yeah, so Pareja's thinking, I trust my defense. I don't think anything's going to happen. Then they go down to 10 men. Okay, now I trusted my defense 11v11. Now I really trust my defense 10v11. And then Pareja does the unthinkable. So that's my take on why we didn't need to go for it, because I think going through Pareja's mind, he did not need to go for it. He felt very comfortable with his defense. And then I personally agree with that take on it. If that's actually what he was thinking, putting words in his mouth, but my take on it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if it works, you're called a genius. And if it doesn't, you get slandered. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Pareja doesn't, put that the guy was going nowhere. I mean,
yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it finally.
He was dribbling horizontally to the goal, and there's like the three center backs are still behind him. They're in line to block a shot if there is one, and the foot gets slipped in. So all I was going to say is if that never happens, there's still 10 minutes, so you don't know, but if that never happens, Orlando was very close to 3 points, and then the decision to sit back looks like a very good one.
Yeah. 1-0 on the road.
Because that happened, it causes a big discussion about the decision making. So that's what sucks about soccer, because it's like one decision, makes you question, a coach's whole like mindset.
Yeah, that's why one of my favorite phrases is, in fact, it's a game of inches, because one different decision, one different moment, and the ball bounces the wrong way. Pareja doesn't get that make contact with his foot going in there. And we're walking out 1-0 winners. I think we would have seen the rest of the match out. What did you make? I know you just kind of said it, but do you have any other comments on the penalty?
Yeah, it's just a very undisciplined type of play there. There was no need, to stick a foot in. Well, I know he regretted it the second that he did it. And the part that I hate so much is that it was an absolute penalty in my mind. Like there was absolutely no question about whether it was a penalty or not a penalty. And the fact that he stuck it right down the middle really pissed me off. But I don't want to be, too hard on him. He just came on, he had like 8 touches of the ball in the entire match, and it wasn't really that involved. It's just annoying. It's one of those. It's really annoying. But he's a guy he's probably still going to have to play in the future. I mean, I know that he's more of a defensive midfielder, but now with Pereira gone, he's going to have to see time. So it's not really. And I think the right thing to do is for him to keep playing. It's one of those things where as soon as you make a mistake, you get the ball right back. Try to get your confidence back. If he just gets hooked to the bench, he's not going to be very confident, moving forward. And Orlando's going to need all the confident players they can get. So it really sucks. It's undisciplined play, but you got to move on. Honestly, it's just, it sucks to watch. A hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. He knows that it was the wrong thing to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like you said, he knew it the second he put the foul in. He was like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? That was so unnecessary. It's not like he was blocking a shot, trying to block a last ditch shot, and the player faked him out and he slid through the guy. No, it was, he's at the top of the 18 yard box, dribbling going into nowhere. 2-3 players going nowhere. And he just sticks a foot in to try and win the ball unnecessarily. Very, 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 I called it brainless. That might be a clumsy. Little harsh. Yeah, clumsy is probably a nicer
clumsy,
term.
I think
for
is
it.
The way I would describe it. It's just clumsy. He's not a bad player or anything. He's trying to make a tackle, but it's very situational. You have to realize where you are on the field. And as soon as it happened, the stadium erupted. You could just feel the momentum you know, start to shift, and you get worried about if the Timbers are going to grab a second one, even though
they were down 10. So yeah, and they almost did right at the death.
They had their chances.
Yeah, that's a good point with the momentum, and going back to Perea needing confidence, he had a if you recall, he had a really poor just first half display against Montreal, got hooked at halftime. And Urso came in and looked a lot better. And I think got the assist on, or like a secondary assist on our second goal in that match. And we hadn't seen him since. Urso's looked fantastic. Perea, we hadn't seen him since. I believe he had like a little injury. And so this is not going to help his confidence. He just gets back from injury. He had a poor performance against Montreal in the one game he's played. And he's given away a penalty now. So his confidence is low, but I do like your idea of just play him through it. I don't think he's necessarily going to be starting games anytime soon. And I don't think he should because Mendez will be back and Urso will be in there. And Araujo has looked excellent in the midfield, but still continue to bring him off the bench. But maybe when it's 2-0.
when a mistake by him can't determine the whole outcome. In games like that.
All right, and then finally, before we finish off with one or two kind of non-game related questions, Antonio Carlos has had an excellent start to the season, and this game was no different. What have you made of his consistent performances to start the season? Kind of on it from an outsider looking in who may not have heard of, because we've seen these type of performances, we haven't seen them 100% every single week like we're seeing right now. But what have you made of Antonio Carlos's season and his match against Portland?
Yeah, he's been absolutely excellent. Him and Janssen, if that's how you pronounce it, that duo has been excellent. I mean, he was the focal point of the defense. And again, he had 7 clearances, 5 interceptions. So anytime the Timbers offense was, there gaining momentum, he kind of was in there just to snuff it out. And he was the closest defender to Perea when he stuck that foot in. So I know that he probably would have snuffed that out too. But even on the ball, he was fantastic, almost at 85%, passing success rate. Especially in a match like that on the road, and Gaisa, he's representing Peru for World Cup qualifying. It was really important that the defense was on point, and I think the defense has been on point for mainly every single game except for Cincinnati. Not to say they had a terrible game, but just a couple, like you mentioned, bonehead kind of plays where you don't get a result as against Cincinnati. But so far, I think the defense has been the strongest point for Orlando this season. I know everyone's excited about the attacking options and who's going to start in the front three and newcomers and everything like that, but that center back pairing and the keeper too, that they've been the focal point right now.
Yeah, definitely. 100% agree. Carlos has looked really good, clearing everything that comes his way. He's like a ball magnet. It's insane. And making big tackles there. When I rewatched the Galaxy game, the Galaxy versus Orlando City game, there was that one point where they got in behind him, and he does really well to just.
He had such a good game against the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. He did a really good job of kind of positioning his body, giving the offensive player a little bit of a bump, and then getting goal side again, and just. It's the little things like that where it's like, maybe even if that was Janssen, they get through there. I mean, Carlos has really taken a step up this season, and it's been impressive to see. So just wanted to give him some praise. All right. So I guess the last kind of talking point isn't about the Portland match, but overall the start to the season, 8 points out of 15 available. We got 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. How are you feeling through these first 5 matches? Is that a good point total? Should there be more? Should there be less? How are you feeling?
I think so far it's really strong. I think it's a good strong start to the season. Orlando in the offseason definitely had some changes of scenery. They lost some big players, but they got in some good players as well. And all the fans, they always expect, you know, right away, there's got to be chemistry. There's got to be points, results, and it takes time. You know, this whole thing that you were telling me about the Perea project is very new, right? And I think, of course, the goal for this season is to get to the playoffs and try to make, you know, some sort of a run. Maybe Orlando right now, to you, I know you're a diehard fan, so you might not agree with me. Maybe Orlando right now isn't a, you know, top Eastern Conference contender, but they have the potential to be. I mean, the defense is very strong, right? And I think in the midfield, especially from what we've seen from Araujo and Urso, that's a very strong midfield punch. I mean, Araujo just sits there as the six. He's really claimed that position. And Urso just going up and down, in my opinion, been the best player so far this season for them. He's been fantastic. And then the attacking options, you know, a problem you want to have as a coach is a lot of good attacking options. So in games where they got to be more defensive and it's going to require a lot of build-up play, I think Kara is great. In games where they can get out and attack and counter and run and create, I think Pato is the best option. In games where they're shorthand in the midfield, maybe both of them, and Pato sitting in behind as a 10 or something. But overall, I think there's a lot of positives to take. I think the 4 out of the 6 on the road is really good in our hearts. That feels like a 6 out of 6 on the road. And you can almost look at it like that because you know it was just a bonehead play that prevented them from being 6 out of 6. And the only real sore thumb on the season so far is Cincinnati. And that one stings. But, I mean, hey, there's worse things. My Revs lost to Charlotte, so there's worse things than that. But overall, and in the CONCACAF, they blew it.
Yeah.
But whatever, we're not talking about that. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's a decent start to the season. I know you'll probably be a little more harsh, but I feel like they seem like a good MLS team, you know, a team that can get in the playoffs and contend with some tough teams. Because when I was writing up, you know, these articles, whatever, the Galaxy, maybe it's just the big name. I always feel like they're a really good team. You know, they beat them. And then the Timbers, obviously the Timbers go to the final last year, losing PKs. They're 10 minutes away from beating them. So maybe they play their competition level, whatever it is. But so far, I think it's a good sign.
Yeah, 8 seems a little bit lower than I would have wanted as a fan. Obviously, I would have wanted 15. Mm-hmm.
But one loss has to feel all right.
One loss does feel all right, and it's just who the loss is to, I think. You know, if you wouldn't have told me what the results were, but you would have said, hey, you started off the season 2-2-1, I would have said, okay, I'm fine with that. Yeah. Because, look, it's we had 3 road games and 2 home games, and you would think, okay, we won our home games. That's, you know, standard MLS play kind of thing. And then we tied 2 of our road games. That's really good. And then we lost 1 of our road games. That's standard. That's kind of expected for you to lose your home games. I'd be happy with that. Instead, we switched it around, lost to Cincinnati at home and beat the Galaxy on the road. That's the only kind of deviation there. And then obviously the most recent draw against Portland is disappointing because of the place we were in with about 15 minutes left to go in the match. So overall, I'm okay with it. I think also not having all the players available, you know, so Jackson Mendez, he hasn't been starting. I don't know if he was just had a slight injury or if it was a tactical reason, but he's one of our better players. Facundo Torres missed this last game. Gallese was out as well for international duty. It's good. It's just a matter of, I think the Cincinnati match was down to if we would have had a couple more matches with our offensive players who started that match, the chemistry, there would have been enough chemistry to win that game because they really only beat us on transition. It wasn't really our defense. It was just they transitioned on us because we were throwing everything at them and our offense just didn't 100% make it work. So first 5 matches, I'm happy with it. 8 points. We're going to be in and around the playoff race all season. I think we can compete for a home playoff match, and it's just going to be really dependent on can we stay healthy and can our offense get some chemistry going. So All right. Well, Matthew's been writing some great articles. obviously, I've been reading them. A couple of y'all have been reading them. They're on linesblog.org. I post about them on Twitter every time we put them up. I'm going to be putting another one up as soon as we get off of the episode here. Matt also has a Twitter account. It is at MATLABLions, correct?
Yes, that is at MATLABLions.
MATLABLions. So go ahead and follow him there if you're not already. Talks about, obviously, Orlando City and Bryant University.
Yep. Okay. And there's actually been a lot of stuff happening with Bryant recently. So I've been tweeting a bit about that. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to grow on there. So I appreciate the shout out.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate all the hard work on the articles. And it's been a great episode. And I guess I'll just say, do you have anything else you want to add before we head out of here?
I think what you said about if you just didn't know who the results were against, but would you take 2-2-1 in the first five games? It's almost how you got to look at it in the MLS. I mean, it's a very long season. And at the end of the day, you know, Cincinnati, that one is just going to stay in the back of your mind, but you eventually have to turn loss from Cincinnati to just loss. Like, it was just a loss. And you move on. And you just try to forget about the specific opponent it was against, and you just try to do better in the future. So 2-2-1 after five, that's not terrible. You know, it's good right now for fourth in the Major League Soccer standing. So, you know, there's a lot of room to grow, and I still think it can be a really promising season for the Lions.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that's where we're going to end it off here. Matt, you have a great rest of your night, my friend.
All right. Thank you.